Dave Gets Cultural, and usually it's theater reviews, and tonight is no different. The only difference is I have a guest by phone. Her name is Jeannie Lieberman. She's been a theater critic for quite a while. Her current venue is theaterscene.net, www.theaterscene.net. She's also written for a bunch of other places. Jeannie, are you there?
I'm there, and always happy to discuss my favorite subject, theater.
Theater. How long have you been a theater critic?
1986, I'm ashamed to say. No, don't do the math now.
Okay. Where did you start?
I started with the New York Law Journal.
Oh, great, great. And now you're on Theater Scene. You're also on a couple of radio stations. Do you recall which? Because they're all over the place.
Oh, yes. I just happened to remind myself. WSNR in New York, WGCH in Greenwich, WALK in Long Island, WFAS in Westchester. I'm all over the place.
Well, gosh, with all that going on, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us here. And we've got a pretty full slate, four different shows that I do want to get to and get your opinions on and maybe banter with you about. So you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Jeannie. We begin with a show that is leaving us in about a week, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, the revival of August Wilson's first big splash of a hit that was revived at the Royale Theater. It's running until April 6th, directed by Marion McClinton, and the revival starring one of the original cast members, Charles S. Dutton, and Whoopi Goldberg taking the title role of Ma Rainey. Jeannie, what did you think of this revival?
Well, I will not be sorry to see it go, I'm sorry to say, but I thought it was a very strange play. I believe, I don't really understand why this author chooses to display African Americans in this light. They are superstitious and silly and stupid, and it's a very unfavorable light. If a white person had written it, I think it would have been called racist. I don't believe it.
Wow.
I'm sorry about that.
No, I didn't even know you were taking that angle, and I can see what you're saying. I mean, I've met Wilson, I've talked to him about his plays, and he gets that quite a lot. It's as if he's picking people up, or black characters up from 100 years ago, and they still have the same kind of stuff that white people were, quote-unquote, making fun of back then.
Well, it is. I think it's his earliest play.
Apparently Jitney was earlier. He just finished it later. And I don't know if you saw Jitney, but that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was wonderful. This play does not deliver people in an admirable light at all. I thought that Whoopi Goldberg was a one-note character, and that word would be irritating.
I don't think she was lively enough to be irritating. My problem with her was that she was so small in a role that required someone really big and boisterous, aside from someone who can really sing the blues.
I think she made up for it by being loud and noisy.
You thought she was loud?
Yeah, she was always shrill, you know. She was always angry. There was never anything else but anger coming out of her. Maybe I just heard anger louder than you did.
Well, I mean, I could see the anger certainly in Charles S. Dutton, but I found him quite powerful to watch.
He was wonderful. I know that he was criticized among some critics, but I thought he was perfect for the role.
Well, what were they? Was he too old a little bit?
Well,
it was the same role he played when the show premiered.
I think it was largely a matter of interpretation. He and the director were in conflict over he wanted to do the role exactly the way he did it the first time. So there was a little battle there. But I had no problem with his role. I thought that was the best in the play.
Sure.
And carried it. I thought, again, that Whoopi was just angry all the time. Angry, arrogant, irritating, and
but she also has to be incredibly talented and dynamic and lovable, and that was missing. And she's also not balanced. The power of her didn't balance with the character of Dutton, so there isn't a balance in the play. She seems like a secondary performer.
Right. She had the title role, but certainly not the most important in this production.
Okay. Now, getting to some other plays,
yeah.
Take Me Out, which I think it's going to be the one to beat at the Tonys. I don't think I'm saying anything nobody else is saying right now, but delightful, funny, very witty, very sharp, and not perfect, but, I mean, do you agree that it is?
It is my favorite play of the season. I saw it both downtown and uptown, and I am I think what makes it so charming and accessible is that it appeals to so many different people. I mean, certainly the gay people, because it's about a gay baseball player who comes out in the middle of a very successful season. But it's also, I think the most wonderful part is that the author became enamored of baseball when he was 40. The author is gay, and he loved the game, and so he has taken this opportunity to extol its virtues. I mean, just the fact that he characterized baseball in terms of numbers, three bases, three strikes, nine men on a team.
The symmetry of it.
It makes
that sound. It is beautiful, and he explains why it's beautiful through the character of Mason Marzak, played by Dennis O'Hare.
Yes.
What a breakout role that is for him. My gosh.
Yeah, he was wonderful. And so was Kippy.
Kippy's sort of the narrator and best friend of the baseball player who comes out.
Yeah. Oh, yes. His best friend was Davey. That's how they changed it from downtown to uptown.
They changed it. Well, it was a different best friend, or they just changed the name of the character?
No, it was the same best friend, but the issue of why would his best friend be so angry at him?
I'm sorry. There's two best. There's his good friend on the team, and then there's his best friend.
Yes.
Best friend. I'm sorry. Right.
His best friend is the one who gets murdered at the end. And so you wonder what the argument was about. Why were they so angry at each other? Because his best friend tells him, be yourself. He tells Darren, be yourself. Darren interprets that as an excuse to come out.
What do you think the friend meant? That was one thing I think it's a little left intentionally unclear.
Well, I went to a seminar afterwards and discussed it with the author.
Yeah.
And the point was that the best friend was very jealous about his own life, safeguarding it, that he was a straight man, he wasn't a hard drinker, he didn't curse, he just pretended to be one of the guys. And now he felt that his association with Darren, who was suddenly gay, cast on his own doubt on his own sexuality and a sort of a shadow on his role and his family by association.
I think they could have strengthened that point in the play. I think that's something that the author has, but he didn't quite zing in there.
Well, there were two words at the end which were not downtown. And the whole conversation was distilled to, he said, you're a pervert, is what Davey said to Darren.
People tell me that all the time. I think it's a compliment.
Well, Darren said, drop dead, and so he did.
Oh, right. So they beefed that part up in the...
It was also interesting to discuss with the actors which they preferred, the sort of semi-thrust stage downtown.
Thrust being the operative term, considering they're naked one-fifth of the play.
Touché, Dave. And the flat proscenium play stage. And the actors said that they felt more connected with the audience, more intimate with the audience, the former way. But it was easier to focus their energy out in the traditional Broadway stage.
The public theater and Broadway, I mean, the number of seats is also going to be is going to make a difference. But I love the staging by Joe Mantello. Nobody does ensemble gay plays like he does.
It was gorgeous, and it actually people forget that the men are straight, except for Darren, in the show.
Yes.
So that it should appeal to everybody.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I should call it a gay play.
Yeah.
If it were just a gay play, I would have been like, ho hum, boring. But it is also very funny. I don't know if we got that across, but the writing is so full of delight most of the time. Okay, I'm getting a signal from the engineer that I need to move to my next show. Although I think obviously we're both highly, highly recommending Take Me Out.
Highly recommended.
Pulitzer, do you think?
Definitely.
Good. I can't see anything beating that at the moment. We were talking before we went on the air, and I think this is where we're going to have our biggest falling out. Vincent in Brixton, an English play by Nicholas Wright, which follows Vincent van Gogh before he got into painting when he was just an art dealer. And he had moved to London for 2 years, and this is where he kind of had that whole sea change of being not really sure of what he wanted to be and being in business. And he has this romance with an older woman. And I wish I could say other things happen in the play, but they really don't. One of those boring 2.5 hours I've spent in the theater in quite a while.
How can you say that? Now, you see, this is probably a male female thing.
Okay.
I believe that it is my experience that every review read by men were similar to yours. And I haven't read too many by women, but I know women loved it because it's a very sensitive, subtle, highly nuanced play. This young man comes into this household, and he's just raw. He's all angles. He doesn't fit in. He's tightly buttoned in his frock. He only speaks automatically. He has no experience with real emotions. And then,
okay,
of course, he falls in love with the daughter, and then he discovers that she is already taken, and then he somehow, in his despair, identifies with the mother. And she is so beautiful in her tolerance of his awkwardness and her willingness to go along with it and her ability to finally accept a little bit of passion in a very dry life. Her life was over emotionally until she met him. And so this connection was done very sensitively, and it was just beautiful. It was palpable.
I love the way you describe it. I mean, the way you describe it makes me want to see that play. But I saw that play.
But you saw that play. You saw a different one that night.
Yeah, but actually what you're describing is the Rose Tattoo, to some extent, which play I do like, and that is very lively and funny and, to me, more meaningful than this.
This is the Rose Tattoo without the passion. This is a Rose Tattoo that is just subtle, but very as nuanced and as deep as the Rose Tattoo, I thought.
Were you moved by it at some point?
Pardon?
Were you moved by it?
Oh, yes.
When?
From the whole time. I was just mesmerized by the relationship. This young man is so incredible, the way he moves on stage, the way
his name is Joachim ten Hoff.
Yeah,
well,
I wanted you to pronounce it because I couldn't.
Well, he even pronounces Van Gogh differently. He says Van Gogh.
I can't go there either.
Yeah. Well, the woman's name is Claire Higgins, so yes, we can get through that one. Yeah.
Yeah, and Claire certainly deserves an award.
That was a very good performance.
The young man deserves an award too, I believe.
Okay. So we do obviously have a disagreement on Vincent and Brixton, but there's
all
definitely
those women out there, go see the play.
Well, I think they are, because it was extended. I mean, they didn't know how long it was going to run, but it was a limited run, and now they're saying, I think it is at least until June. So certainly there is a faction of the audience that is
behind it.
We
are out there in numbers, obviously.
I know. Now, before we go, those were three Broadway plays we just went through. I was going to ask you about Urban Cowboy, which ended this weekend after just opening 2 days ago. But
what?
I didn't see. Yeah, they're closing it. It got killed by the Times. Nobody wanted to see. I saw a workshop of it about 2 years ago, and I was like, this thing's going down the sinkhole.
That's so unfair. I didn't get to see it yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're just
so
like,
disappointed.
Like, why flush more money down the toilet? They just went boom.
Oh.
So instead, we're going to talk about an off-Broadway show that we've both seen, and I think we have a disagreement about this one, too, Our Lady of 121st Street, which is not playing on 121st Street, but on East 17th at the Union Square Theater by one of the up-and-coming youngish author people, Stephen Adley Guirgis. Here, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. And the director is Philip Seymour Hoffman, a rather famous Hollywood actor at this point. I liked quite a bit of it. I think some of the writing is very lively and, granted, full of obscenities and things like that in the post-Mamet sense. But there are times when the writing really gets on a roll and the characters are very unique, and he's trying to do a lot of kinetic things. It all takes place at a funeral parlor where this nun has been brutally murdered and her corpse is actually missing. And there's a detective who is trying to figure out what's going on, but it's not a detective story. He's basically one of her former students and also a drunk, which, yeah, the play also presses credibility quite a lot because he's always pulling a bottle out of his uniform. I didn't quite buy that. And there's a lot of other things that are over-exaggerated and hard to believe, but at the same time, there's a lot that kind of held me. You hated it.
Well, over-exaggerated is the word. I mean, these people do not go below the decibel level of high to higher. I think this is what it's not a play. It is a series of vignettes. The vignettes are brilliant. Each character is so clearly delineated, and they know their own pain very well, and they should because they've been doing this since October when the play opened Uptown. However, there is no storyline there. This is what happens when the author is a member of a drama company, and also an actor, and the director is also an actor. And so what he wrote these parts for these characters, for these actors.
Those actors. And so you've got a very actory play, but not quite a structured full... Yeah, because I remember at the end of it, people were... Is that the last scene?
Right.
And it's always a cue that something's a little bit amiss.
That's right.
Jeannie, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. Again, you write for theaterscene.net.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me on Dave's Gone By. I'll see you at the theater.
See you at the theater. Bye.